This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome everyone to today's ILTA podcast interview recording entitled Remote Working, What Does the Future Hold? I'm your moderator, Marlene Gebauer, host of The Geek in Review, and I'm thrilled to be joined by Richard Chu, Managing Director, Major Lindsay in Africa, and Sang Lee, CEO, co-founder of Thine. Welcome, Richard and Sang.
Thank you, Marlene.
Thanks so much. Thrilled to be here.
So, Richard, can you tell me, I'll start with you, like, what's the current state of remote work? Who's working remotely in law? And are we seeing changes in who or how much in the last few months?
Yeah. Well, the short answer is not many people are working in the office. And what's interesting is that, you know, when the pandemic first started fading, you know, this year, people had there was a ton of effort to try to get back into people in the office. And there was all this debate about whether people are going to require lawyers to come into the office or not. And some firms were saying, you know, 3 days a week, and some were saying, okay, flexible. And some were saying 5 days a week. Some were saying one day. I mean, there was kind of all over the map, but what it is sort of seems to devolve to is people have sort of given up on it. I mean, people are not going back in the office. Firms are not really enforcing it to the extent that ones were saying that you had to go back in, and people just are not going back into the office. Now, I mean, that's kind of the current state. So it's hard to say where it will finally settle in, but at least from what I see and the trends that I'm seeing is that it is pretty much staying as, you know, at least 50% or more are staying remote.
I agree. I mean, the thing that I picked up on from what you were saying, Richard, and also what I've just experienced just in my travels with law firms, is that the state of remote work it's consistently inconsistent, right? So some lawyers, they've asked some law firms, particularly the larger ones in New York, where I'm based, they've asked lawyers to come in 2 or 3 days a week, right, starting in the spring. And then others just said, come in as often as you want. We're going to figure things out by year end. So pretty much across the board, the rollouts have been, even with the best intention, they've been clumsy. And guidelines have been challenging to interpret. They've been challenging to roll out. There's basically been zero enforceability around the guidelines or around the rules. And now, I mean, you want to talk about the current state of remote work. Today's Friday, July 29th, right? We're on the precipice of August. And even in the more junior ranks, when you're talking about the summer associates, as well as the junior associates who ostensibly are there because they're interested in getting some training, they are now being told that they can work remotely for the month of August, because a lot of law firms have realized that commuting can be hard and traveling can be hard. And from a recruiting standpoint, they really want to look as flexible as possible during the entry-level recruitment season. And so it's been consistently inconsistent. And now it's even more so, and it's even more challenging to predict what will come in the fall.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the summer associates, because, you know, you and I have talked about professional development and retention. And there was a recent ALM survey on incoming summer associates that reported only 25% of the respondents felt concern about connecting with colleagues and getting adequate training in remote programs. And that was down from 53% last year. Does that surprise you at all?
I'm not sure that I'm surprised about the adequate training stat, because I do think that summer associates, by and large, do not really concern themselves with training for the summer program, and nor do they really concern themselves with training by remote or by hybrid or by, you know, Zoom platform technologies, just because many of them went to law school that way. And so they don't doubt their ability to connect and their ability to learn using these technologies, because this is how they grow up. And so that stat doesn't surprise me. The stat that surprises me is the 25% feeling concerned about connecting, because I think that connection piece is where I'm seeing a real breakdown at law firms in the cultural experience of collaboration.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think it doesn't surprise me either. I agree that the people that are saying that there's no culture with trying to work remotely are the people that worked in real, you know, they're the older lawyers, the ones that grew up in a time when there was remote. But if you've always grown up in remote and that's the only thing you know, you're not going to really notice it, or you're not thinking you're missing anything. I mean, that's, I think the issue is that as the longer remote work sets in, the less people will think, well, I'm not getting something because they don't know what they're not getting, you know, or whatever. So, and as Sang just pointed out, they also grew up in an environment where, you know, their whole school and their interactions with people are all remote anyway. So for them, this is not that different. And someone saying to them, oh, you know, you're really missing out on culture by not having in-person training or in-person mentoring, they don't even know what that is. So I think the longer it goes on, the less and less likely people are going to feel this need for that.
Okay, so that's interesting. So they don't know what they don't know. But mm-hmm. the folks in the organizations know what they don't know, hopefully. So, Richard, have you heard of any particular creative methods that organizations are using to keep communication going in remote teams?
You know, I really haven't. The only methods that people have been using, honestly, for this thing is food. Basically, firms are desperately, you know, offering lunches and happy hours. I mean,
and emojis, little emojis.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of about it. I mean, that's all out here. But that's about the only thing that will get people to come in. And that's about the only thing the firm, if they don't offer that, I don't know really much of anything that the firms have tried to do or been able to successfully do to get people to come back into the office.
I'm with Richard. I can't say that I think that the things that I've heard of apropos like culture and enticement have been super creative. I think there certainly has been a focus on food, coffee breaks. One firm that I spoke with yesterday told me that they're making all of the food in the cafeteria, all of it. They're subsidizing it all. It's completely free. But, you know, my husband is in commercial real estate, and so he does a lot of big leases for law firms throughout the country. And one of the things that he had shared with me was that he was fielding requests around people's ability to bring their animals to work. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And that's really about, you know, inviting people or incentivizing people to come to work. But apropos creative methods for communication advancement, I am hearing about things, and I know that I'm being contacted with my colleagues for more leadership academies at every level, more training that's happening in person, a way to bring lawyers into the office so that they can be in conversation with one another. A lot of these young lawyers, the first and second years, they don't even know one another's names. And they don't know the names of the people with whom they work because they were onboarded during a pandemic. So in order to keep communication going, you have to provide opportunities for people to meet one another beyond being on a Zoom platform. So I'm seeing leadership training, I'm seeing PD academies, I'm seeing retreats, practice group retreats happening with more frequency. I think that some of the infrastructure expenses that were saved, if you will, some of the cost savings because of the infrastructure not having to be availed of or, you know, exploited. I think some of those dollars are going towards culture building like retreats. Also, I'm seeing a lot more requests for coaching at every level. And some law firms have even started talking about designing in-house project management software. So while that might not lead to more connection around who you are and where you grew up and, you know, the kind of wonderful environmental connections that can be formed in person, they are really thinking about ensuring that breakdowns don't happen in work connections. And so those are some of the things that I'm hearing.
So Richard, you mentioned earlier that, organizations are sort of resigned to the fact that people are going to be working remotely. What's the economic and financial impact of remote work on these organizations?
Yeah, well, I think that's actually the main reason why people are continuing to work remotely is because it really hasn't had any. I mean, that's the thing that I think has surprised even the biggest skeptics when the pandemic started, is that, you know, legal services, you know, can be delivered very well remotely. I mean, I don't think anyone would have guessed that to the extent that it is. And that's kind of the problem. I mean, if it really were having an impact, I think people would be back in the office right away. You know, this is not like practicing medicine where you need to see the patients or see the clients. I mean, unfortunately, you know, just weirdly as it is, you know, by and large, legal work, as it turns out, I think has evolved over time where, you know, even before the pandemic, basically you weren't seeing the client a lot and you weren't meeting with them and you were delivering all the service. I mean, the reality is that even before the pandemic started, most of the work was already really being delivered remotely. You know, people didn't realize that as much. And so, I think that's really the issue that has allowed remote work to kind of stay in, and people aren't really pushing it because it hasn't had much of an impact.
I agree with the observation that work by and large, the delivery of legal services by and large had already been performed remotely. You know, a million years ago when I was practicing, nobody knew whether I was in my office or in a conference room, or so I could ostensibly have been at home, right? So I think that because that delivery has always been somewhat remote, the transition to a remote or hybrid experience should feel easy. And I think ultimately, I agree with Richard, I don't see the industry going back to a time where everyone is in the office 5 days a week. I do think, however, that there have been profound impacts, which we have yet to fully understand, because the sudden shift, the very, very dramatic shift to a fully remote or now an ongoing hybrid exploration, that was created by crisis. Mm-hmm. And so it was acceptable for a period of time because we are all bound together by this crisis to try to make it work. I think that people tried to make it work. And as a result, there was profound cost savings. There was greater rate flexibility. There were so many different aspects of working remotely that help the bottom line of law firms. And so, of course, there's going to want to be, everyone's going to want to kind of maintain that. However, I think that now that we're settling in to the possibility that this is the way it is, all of the other stuff that comes from an unsophisticated, not fully thought through or fleshed out, not fully managed hybrid experience, I think all of those challenges will start to surface, bubble up, and come to a boiling point. I think you're seeing it with the profound shift in the lateral market, the fact that, you know, the war for talent is profound because people aren't feeling a real need or a real opportunity to entrench themselves in their firms. So while I think that the ultimate result will be a commitment to a hybrid working environment, I think that there will be all kinds of troubling impacts that we will have to contend with over the course of the next few years as we work through this.
So Sang, if organizations are seeing remote work as a solution long-term, what sorts of skills and characteristics should they be looking for in their hiring and retention practices?
Marlene, this is my jam.
Yeah, I know.
So I run an assessment company, and so all I do is think about lawyer competencies. Law firms, employers will really look for the competency of self-management. Someone who has a really clear sense of self and boundaries, someone who is able to operate independently, someone who is really good at commitment management. They'll look for accountability. They'll look for people who are strong and adaptive communicators. I think it's a really exciting time. I think law firms will have to spend some time really thinking through the language that they use around who they're trying to hire, from entry level all the way up to partner, in order to ensure that the investment that they're making in recruitment and retention pays off.
I also think there could be, if it really stays remote like this, there may be also a need for more of a liaison type role between partners and associates, because you know, because basically someone, you know, almost like ombudsmen, I mean, you know, associates are, you know, very loosely organized within law firms. And if they're never going to see partners in person or very rarely, there may need to be, and I don't know if this will be a lawyer, or it could even be a non-lawyer, whose role it is to make sure that, you know, to keep track of a smaller group of associates to make sure they're not getting lost, or they're not, you know, they are getting the communications, that they don't get lost in the system where, you know, when people are in person, it's just easier to kind of just walk down the hall and, you know, check to see how people are doing.
Like maybe even a practice administrator or
something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think there may be more need for that kind of thing in an organized way. Some firms already do that, but that may be more, you know, widely organized.
Well, thank you very much, Sang and Richard. We really appreciate your time. And thank you to the audience who will be tuning in soon. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks, Marlene.
Thanks so much. Thanks.
Bye.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.